Hello, friends. Originally, we had said that we were going to release our episode on The Hurt Locker Part 1 today, and this is not that. We are very, very, very sorry about the continued delay. The rehearsal process for the show that I'm in was a lot more time-consuming than I anticipated, and we simply ran out of time. We do have it on our calendars that we are recording it this week. It will be out next Wednesday, we promise. Once again, we are so sorry. In the meantime, here's another snippet from the Patreon vault. This is the beginning of our episode on Pitch Perfect. If you want to hear this episode in its entirety, you can find it on our Patreon, at patreon.com/recoveringgleek, as well as all of our other Patreon-exclusive episodes. Here's Pitch Perfect.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Welcome, pitches,
to
your
ready.
Bonus episode. Akka, get ready.
Akka, prepare yourselves.
Pitch Perfect, really, in their marketing campaign, someone discovered the pun of what if we said pitch instead of bitch, and then the powers that be at Universal said, we are just using that. You are now president of marketing at this company.
That.
We're going to run that into the ground.
And honestly, I think they only make that joke maybe once, maybe twice.
The only one I can think of is you're going to get pitch slapped so hard your man boobs are going to concave.
And I remember I heard that and I was like, oh my God, that was like all over the posters, like pitch slap and like like using the word pitch like bitch. Oh my gosh. Honestly, it's pretty good.
I think it's on the sequels too, possibly. Hold up. Let me look at the Pitch Perfect 2 poster. Yeah, we're back, pitches, is Pitch Perfect 2.
It says, and then it says, Akka, get ready. Akka, prepare yourselves.
And then Pitch Perfect 3 is Last Call Pitches. Mm. They like really, for a movie.
They were really squeezing the juice out of that one.
Yeah. For a movie franchise that, at least in my opinion, we'll get into it, is genuinely very, very, very funny and very clever. Mm-hmm. The marketing team sure only had one joke.
I know.
Like, it could not.
It's like, someone get Elizabeth Banks on the phone, please. They just don't want to give her a marketing credit or a check. So they were like, let's just use pitch again.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks had like a whole notebook of ideas they could use in marketing. And they're like, Elizabeth, we're not paying you extra for marketing this movie. Sorry. We're going with what the intern said.
Oh, literally.
We're using pitch as bitch for a third time. Okay. Calm down.
Do you want to hear a big old secret?
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't think I've seen the third Pitch Perfect movie. And not on purpose. I would like to watch it. Wait. Okay. Which one is the one that Flew the Borg is in? The German YouTuber.
That's the second one.
Then I have not seen beyond that.
I've only seen 2 and 3 one time each.
Okay.
And so it's been a while. And so I do not. Like, I can't stand by these opinions I'm about to speak. This is what I remember thinking, but you know, it's been a long time and it could be totally different. I remember feeling like Pitch Perfect 2 was a little too self-serious. Like, it tried really hard. And obviously, there is an emotional heart to these movies, but it tried too hard to have an emotional heart. And I was like, okay, like, what's going on? And then at the opposite end of the spectrum, I felt like Pitch Perfect 3 swung so far in the opposite direction that I was like, what's happening? Like, Pitch Perfect 3 is basically an action movie, which, hear me out, is kind of fun. I like it more than 2 because of that. But, like, Pitch Perfect 1 is the perfect movie of the trilogy because it knows exactly what it is and it is the right amount of funny and heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitch Perfect 2 is too heartfelt and Pitch Perfect 3 is too funny and like kind of like loses the heartfelt.
Mm, I hear that. I would really like to watch the next, the sequels. I mean, I think I enjoy Pitch Perfect enough and I like these characters enough that I'm like invested in what they do. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see it. I'm not like avoiding it. I just think I've like, when did the last movie even come out?
It came out while I was working at Disney World. So it was fall of 2017.
Yeah. So I was in college and I did not see a lot of movies in college.
Fun fact about Pitch Perfect 3. I had just spent the day in Universal Studios with my roommate and I had dropped, no joke, $70 on merchandise from Universal Studios.
That's easy to do.
Went to see Pitch Perfect 3 at Universal City Walk, which is the little like shopping center outside of Universal Studios. Went home, left all my merchandise in the movie theater, and it was gone.
Ian, I'm so sorry. That sucks. Oh my gosh. Does that haunt your dreams? I really hate that.
It was all like Christmas presents for my family, too. Yeah.
Yeah, the Christmas shoes. No.
It was like November of 2017, and I wanted to get them all, you know, stuff that I could only buy at these theme parks. And so I had like hand-picked out merchandise for all of them. It was only for, I think, Alex and his wife. I think I got everyone else's stuff at Disney World. But yeah.
Even still, that sucks.
Bye-bye. Hello, everyone. I feel like we don't introduce ourselves for bonus content.
Do you think they know who we are?
No, I don't think they do. I think someone stumbled onto our Patreon, accidentally spent $5 or $8, and then started playing this episode, having honestly, no idea what was going on.
Hey, welcome. I'm really genuinely happy to have you here. I hope you enjoy your stay here. My name is Lena.
My name is Ian, baby.
I love you. I'm glad you're here.
Good to see you.
And I'm a dumb pitch.
I'm so a funny. Bad pitch, baby.
Oh, good. I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. Are you ready to talk about Pitch Perfect?
I am. I have to tell you, I think I've said this, maybe spoken these words on the podcast before. Pitch Perfect is, in fact, a movie that is like very important to me. Yeah. It was back when I had a list of my favorite movies, which I don't really do anymore because I don't care. It was like in the top five for years. Mm-hmm. This movie came out my senior year of high school, and I went and saw it at the mall back when kids went to malls with my friends. And I remember sitting in the theater and thinking, this movie is my generation's Mean Girls.
And I think you're right. I don't know that it has like the staying power of mm-hmm. Mean Girls just because Mean Girls yeah. is it. But yeah. I think you're right. It feels very formative like Mean Girls does, like to mm-hmm. especially our generation, you know?
And in the same way that like I love Mean Girls, but like when I watch Mean Girls with like Alex, mm-hmm. it is so exactly the time period of when he went to high school, and like yeah. the clothes that the guys wear are what Alex wore in high school, and the clothes the girls wear are what his friends were wearing. The music they listened to is what people were listening to when he was in high school. Like Pitch Perfect is such an encapsulation of yeah. our high oh school my gosh. Experience,
especially the music and like mm-hmm. even like the things that they're wearing, the alternative clothes, like mm-hmm. the music especially is so are
the
like going
cup
to high school.
Song.
My God. This was the cup song to me. Had me in a chokehold. Had me in a chokehold. I remember for weeks and weeks and weeks, I would film myself on my tiny like iPod Nano and doing the cup song, and I would show it to people. I'd say, look at the progress I've made on the cup song. I Heck literally yeah. have a memory that like haunts me where I show my friend Sam me doing the cup song, and I go to my myself in my brain, I go, why did I insist on showing Sammy playing the cup song? It's because everyone and their cat was doing it, and I had to let them know that I was doing it too. But also mm-hmm. the chokehold that it had, like Anna Kendrick released this song along with a music video. Like this, when I watch that part, it is 30 seconds. It is 30 seconds of almost nothing, and the chokehold it had on like kids in high school at the time. Holy God, jeez, yeah. It's crazy.
Goodness sakes. And also, like, I mean, this wasn't because of Pitch Perfect. This was because of Glee, frankly. But also, yeah. acapella had the nation
oh,
and
absolutely
maybe the world at large in the biggest chokehold from 20. from 2009 to like 2013.
I know.
This is like during the sing-off days. This is everyone's trying to capitalize on the a cappella craze. Freaking, yeah. What's that a cappella group?
Pentatonix.
Yeah, Pentatonix are like mainstream celebrities at this time
mainstream
period.
Mainstream celebrities, like doing duets with like mainstream pop artists.
Yeah. A wild it's the Wild West out in the music scene in 2020.
Honestly, it fills me, we could be making fun of it, but also it fills me with a nostalgia that is so mm-hmm. comforting. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know shit about acapella. Have I ever even seen acapella in real life? I don't think I have. Like, I don't think I've ever seen like an acapella like group in real life, genuinely. But I know what acapella sounds like because Glee and Pitch Perfect and Pentatonix were everywhere in the like 2010s. Like, it had us in a chokehold. Like, what? Crazy. I'm obsessed. And you know what? I love it.
I was deep in the acapella scene. We sang so many acapella songs in my choir. That's why I love.
Yeah. Sure.
In this movie, I love the audition scene because it's the most accurate depiction of acapella. The way that Esther Dean just has to go zoom 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 for the entire song. Like, I cannot tell you how many songs we sang in my choir that my vocal part was literally da 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 da, and that's all you do. And when everyone's together, it sounds amazing. But by yourself, you're like, I'm going to lose my mind singing this song.
Like, how do you practice that at home? I don't know. I'm sure I've seen like a choir do like an a cappella song or two. But I don't think I've seen like someone beatboxing on the side with like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like an official a cappella like group. I don't think I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm not avoiding it. I just don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, you missed your window by about 10 years.
I know. No one's doing acapella anymore. Oh my God, acapella. So crazy, so fun, so awesome. Do you have like some pacts for me that you would like to share?
I do. I do have some pacts, you pitch.
Thanks.
Oh yeah, it's time for the
pacts.
All right. Here's some fun facts about the seminal classic Pitch Perfect. So, Pitch Perfect premiered in Los Angeles on September 24th, 2012. And then it went on to almost your birthday. And then it went on to a nationwide release after your birthday.
Dang.
On October 5th, 2012. Mm. What a time. It was directed by Jason Moore. I tried to find out other stuff he'd done up to this point. He directed like episodes of Dawson's Creek. He directed episodes of Everwood. This was his first feature film. He did go on to direct Sisters, the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie where they like have the big house party.
Uh-huh.
And it was written by Kay Cannon, who was a writer and producer on 30 Rock and on New Girl. So no wonder this movie is so funny.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect is actually based off of a book.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
So the book is nonfiction. It's written by Mickey Rapkin. It's called Pitch Perfect, The Quest for Collegiate Acapella Glory. Mickey Rapkin was a senior editor on GQ, I believe. And he covered three different acapella groups during the 2008 competitive collegiate acapella season. Because the ICCA, which is the International Championship of Collegiate Acapella. That is a real thing that was not made up by Pitch Perfect. And they do host a competition every year that like acapella groups from a bunch of different colleges compete in Lincoln Center in New York. So in the 2008 season, there were three acapella groups that Mickey Rapkin was following. There was an all-female group from the University of Oregon called Divisi, which were the inspiration for the Bard and Bellas. There was an all-male group from Tufts University called the Beelzebubs.
We know
which
them.
Which became the inspiration for the Troublemakers and also were the voices of the Warblers in Glee Season 2.
Kind of local celebrities for us.
For real. Here in Lima, good to Ohio. Hear from you again, Beazlebubs. What's up?
Like, hey guys, love you.
The third group was the University of Virginia Hullabahoos, which didn't go on to become an inspiration for a group in Pitch Perfect. However, they do cameo in Pitch Perfect. When they get to the finals and there's the montage of everyone performing and there's the group singing the final countdown in the robes, that's the Hullabahoos, and that's actually them singing.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So the story of the book, The Quest for Collegiate Acapella, as I mentioned, it's nonfiction, but DeVisi in 2008 went to the ICCA finals, and much like in Pitch Perfect, it was kind of unheard of for an all-female group to go to the finals and do super well. And they sang, this all-female group sang an acapella arrangement of Yeah by Usher. And it was like so, like the audience could not believe it, that it was all girls and they were doing this like top 40 song and they were all super rocking out and getting really into it. And he said people were like standing up and cheering while they were performing and everyone was convinced that they had walked away with the championship. And it turned out that they didn't win, they got second, because the ICCA ranks by ranked voting. And of the four judges put them as first, and then the female judge, for whatever reason, put them as fourth.
Yeah, that'll do it.
She did not give like specific reasons for why she didn't rank them higher. She just didn't. That was enough to keep them from getting first. And because of it, the ICCA has changed their scoring system because it was such controversy that DeVisi did not win when they like brought the house down and would have been, you know, would have like made history to be one of the first female groups to ever win. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's the story of that book. So essentially, Pitch Perfect is the story of DeVisi if they had actually won like they should have. Mm. So casting for Pitch Perfect. Oh, who am I? What am I doing? Oh, Anna
Your
Kendrick,
name is
obviously.
Ian.
Thank you. Anna Kendrick, she's been a Broadway girl her whole life. She freaking was nominated for a Tony Award when she was 10 years old.
Yeah.
One of the producers had seen her in Up in the Air with George Clooney, which she got an Oscar nomination for, and he really liked her. She came in to audition for the movie, and she sang the Cup song. The Cup song was not in the script. Anna Kendrick had seen it on Reddit, and she performed it for her audition, and they liked it so much they put it in the script. Originally in the script, Becca was supposed to audition for the Barton Bellas with like a children's song. She was supposed to sing something like I'm Little Teapot, where she just was like, I don't want to do this, here's a song, whatever. But they loved Anna Kendrick singing this song so much they put it in.
She's an icon. She's a legend.
And she is the moment. The Cup song is, the words to the Cup song are from some folk song from like the 20s, but putting the folk song to the cup pattern was originally done by the British band Lulu and the Lampshades. Mm-hmm. Although Pitch Perfect is kind of what mainstream popularized it. Adam Devine, who plays Bumper, he was on the TV show Workaholics. Elizabeth Banks, who was a producer on Pitch Perfect, really loved Workaholics, which is why she wanted him to audition. He thought that he was auditioning for a movie about baseball because it said pitch in the title. He came in, was not aware.
Adam.
He was not aware that they were supposed to prepare a song because he thought it was about baseball. So then they were like, we need you to sing. And so he sang the Full House theme song off the top of his head.
That's really funny.
Kay Cannon, who wrote the screenplay, had seen Bridesmaids and really loved Rebel Wilson's performance in Bridesmaids. And so she messaged Rebel over Facebook and asked her to audition.
I love that.
Rebel came in. She sang Edge of Glory by Lady Gaga. She accompanied herself by pounding her chest and snapping her fingers while she sang. The character of Fat Amy was not Australian. They added that in because Rebel Wilson is Australian and they didn't want her to fake an accent. Mm-hmm. And if you have ever seen Super Fun Night, you know why they didn't want Rebel Wilson to fake an accent. Love her to death. And most of her dialogue, most is a bit presumptuous of me, but a lot of her dialogue in this movie is fully improvised. Mm-hmm. And if you ever watch the outtakes of Pitch Perfect, half of them are Rebel Wilson just like saying whatever the heck she wants and then everyone breaking.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. So, Pitch Perfect is the third highest grossing music comedy film of all time.
Okay.
The two above it are Pitch Perfect 2 and School of Rock.
Oh.
The album was the highest grossing soundtrack of 2013. It was like the seventh highest or something of 2012. Okay. But Pitch Perfect was a sleeper hit where it opened kind of modestly and then it just through word of mouth got more and more popular.
For sure.
Three songs off the Pitch Perfect album charted in the Billboard Hot 100. The Riff Off chart peaked at number 86. Bella's Finals peaked at number 85. And the Cup Song with Anna Kendrick peaked at number 6.
Yeah.
Inescapable. Inescapable. Anytime that Becca is singing alone in this movie, Anna Kendrick is singing live on set. Coming from the theater, she insisted.
I wonder what that conversation would sound like. Like you insisting to sing live. Like, no, I'll do it live. And everyone being like, no, Anna, you can pre-record. Don't worry. No, I'll do it live. Like, what does that sound like? I don't know. In my mind, very dramatic.
I think mostly, which I would feel the same way. She was like, it's awkward for me to lip sync. It's hard for me to like feel like it's natural. So I'd rather just sing it here.
Totally. Yeah.
So the role of Gail, which Elizabeth Banks plays, was originally written for Kristen Wiig. And it was offered to Kristen Wiig, and Kristen Wiig declined it. And then they were like, well, Elizabeth, you're a very funny woman, and you're already producing this movie, so why don't you just take it? And then she did.
Good choice.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Oh, speaking of, sorry, my pacts are truly all over the place. So we're just kind of like jumping back and forth. Speaking of Rebel Wilson just improvising constantly, this whole like weird bumper and Fat Amy undercurrent of them having like a love-hate relationship and sexual chemistry is not in the script. Adam Devine and Rebel Wilson just kept improvising during their scenes.
I really love that.
And like so there's a ton that got cut out. Like there's a whole scene where it's mentioned that they had a one night stand. Like they were really pushing for a Fat Amy and Bumper dynamic, which is so funny because then if you watch Pitch Perfect 2,
right,
like Bumper and Amy's love affair is like the B plot of that movie. Mm-hmm. And it genuinely came out of Adam Devine and Rebel Wilson just trying to make each other laugh on the set of the first movie.
That makes me very excited. I love that.
Kelly Jekyll, who plays Jessica, the Bella who always bounces up and down, she actually is a former ICCA winner. She did collegiate a cappella in college. For everyone who was not a former ICCA winner, the producers had a month-long a cappella booty camp. They had Deke Sharon, who is the real-life founder of the ICCA, and Ed Boyer, who is, you know, some other a cappella guy that I don't know about, but who are both people that Mickey Rapkin interviewed for his book.
Cool.
They had them come to the movie and host a booty camp to get everyone, you know, used to dancing, used to making a cappella music, all of that stuff. And then they also stayed on set as on set music directors. They helped arrange the music for the movie. They helped produce the vocals. The whole film was filmed at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
A beautiful campus.
A lovely campus. Originally in the script, Jesse and Becca were not supposed to bond over The Breakfast Club. They were supposed to bond over the movie that will not leave us alone, Say Anything, starring John Cusack.
My gosh. Well,
we cannot escape this film. I don't know why they changed it, but frankly, Don't You Forget About Me is such an iconic moment in this movie. I'm glad they did change it.
And I think just thinking about the song's choices in that movie, like In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel is a beautiful song that I really love, but it's not like a triumphant, like put this in your a cappella medley.
lights up.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, you sang that. Literally, I get chills. I was immediately.
About to say, singing that gave me goosebumps.
Like, don't you forget about me. Like, it's like, I think it's perfect. I think it is pitch perfect. Like, it fits way better than that song. So if it came down to, like, even that conversation, I understand why they changed it.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Just the way you are. I'm sobbing. Like, this movie is so good.
There's a time my senior year of high school where I would just listen to Bella Finals as I was doing homework, and it would, like, make me almost start crying.
Yeah!
It's so good!
It, like, not to reveal my feelings about it, but oh my gosh, it is, like, the perfect end to this movie.
Okay, I'm almost done with these facts before we can get into just, like, how much I love this movie. So Esther Dean, who plays Cynthia Rose, who is queer icon Cynthia Rose with the red hair, she is a songwriter. She has written so many songs for so many different artists, including top 10 hits for Katy Perry and Rihanna. One of her hits for Rihanna that she wrote is S&M, which her character Cynthia Rose sings in this movie. Full circle, finally got to cover her own freaking song.
I love that. Dang. I really love that. That's so awesome.
The scene where Bumper sees Amy filling her gas tank and then throws a burrito at her is inspired by something that happened to Kay Cannon in real life. When she was in college, she was jogging and her then boyfriend and his friends passed by in a car and threw a burrito at her as a joke.
I literally, when me and my roommate were watching that part, we were like, obviously it's very funny, but if that happened, I think I would, like, be, like, very traumatized. Like, that would be really awful.
And so the reaction of, I just been shot. God, this movie is so funny. Like, banger after banger line in this movie. Oh, I my gosh.
I was like, should I just pull up the script? I was like writing down quotable lines, and I was like, I'm going to be here all fucking day if I do this.
There are lines in this movie that to this day I reference. One of the main ones, I do this all the time, and it's because of Pitch Perfect. It's when someone asks you a question you don't want to answer, and you go,
You totally do that.
To when Aubrey asks Amy how she has Bumper's number. Oh my gosh.
I love that. That's so funny.
I also always do Benji's, everybody be cool. This is just a normal day. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, during that scene when Bumper throws the burrito at Amy, one of the camera operators told Adam Devine, he said, throw the burrito at me, because, like, that's how they needed it for the camera, thinking that Adam Devine, being an actor, would have bad aim. Adam Devine did it and fully
he thought he was auditioning for a baseball movie, you guys.
Seriously, of course he's got good pitch. He hit the camera operator in the face with the burrito.
That's so awful. It probably hurts. That's so
I know,
funny.
For real. All right.
Burrito. So stupid.
My final pact is they're making, I don't know how I feel about this. They're making a Pitch Perfect TV show for Peacock.
No way. Not Here's Peacock. The
Elizabeth Banks is the executive producer, and, you know, Elizabeth Banks is great. And also, the other executive producer and the head writer is Megan Amram. And I love me some Megan Amram.
Who's Megan Amram?
Megan Amram is, she wrote for The Good Place. She wrote for Parks and Rec. She maybe wrote for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but don't quote me on that.
I never will.
She has been, like, nominated for Emmys for her web series that she's written. She is very, very, very funny. Also, she's Twitter famous. Oh my gosh, look up Megan Amram on Twitter and you'll be like, oh, I've seen this woman's tweets constantly.
I literally follow Megan Amram.
Yeah, she's like one of the funniest people on the planet. And so, yes, no, exactly. That profile picture, you see her profile picture and you're like, yeah. Oh, I've seen this profile picture everywhere. So if it's Megan Amram and Elizabeth Banks at the helm, then hopefully it's good. Yeah. Adam Devine is returning as Bumper.
In the TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
And then in a very weird turn of events, Flula Borg is returning as his character from Pitch Perfect 2.
Which, Flula, like, what is up with you, what? Dude?
What? Why does that make sense? And then Sarah Hyland of Modern Family fame, okay, and Jameela Jamil of The Good Place, okay, fame have also been added to the cast.
Okay. And this is actually our announcement. Ian and I have been added to the cast.
Yeah, we've been added to the cast. So just kidding. We don't have complicated feelings about it. We have ones. Everyone should watch it. Mm-hmm. All right. That's Pitch Perfect, baby. Those are your packs. Yeah. Those are your packed pitches.
Thanks for those packs.
Welcome, Pitch.
It's good. It's a good joke. Oh my God. Well, it's no secret. We love this movie. I really love this movie. I remember, I saw it with my family. I think after, like, weeks after it had been released, I think we saw it in, mm-hmm, like a dollar theater because everyone was like, have you seen this movie? And I said, no, I haven't. And they said, you better. And I said, okay, cool. Where do I watch it? And then I went to like the dollar theater and watched it with my family and loved it. Loved it. Like, I remember laughing harder than I had ever laughed before in a movie. Like thinking it was the funniest thing I had ever seen to that date. And I think, I mean, that's totally true. It totally was. Like, and I felt absolutely seen. Like, I was like, these are people I know. These are people I've interacted with. Like, this is a movie. It felt like it was made for me. And I remember thinking it was just everything. It was just like, so like the perfect movie, I remember thinking. And I remember like every school dance we ever had that year, we would like go to someone's house after the fact and like have like an after party. And everyone was like, what, yeah, movie do we watch? And it was like Pitch Perfect every fucking time. And I think, yeah, I watched it like 10 times in the span of a year. And it was like fresh every time. And I remember like everyone quoted it constantly. Like, I like every Fat Amy line, everyone was saying all the fucking time. Like, it was just, everyone was doing the cup song, like in the hallways with cups, like in a circle, passing it back and forth, like passing cups around the circle. Like, mm-hmm, it was everything. And it like was the moment. We just loved it. What was your like experience with the movie?
This movie is top tier, incredible, yeah, 2010s comedy. Totally. I like cannot say enough good things about this movie. It is so good. It's so funny. It makes me emotional.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a missionary,
okay,
for the LDS church, when for those of you not in the know, when you become a missionary, you go to a place called the MTC, the Missionary Training Center, and essentially what that means is if you're going somewhere where they don't speak your native tongue, you go there to learn the other language, and then you also just like study the scriptures. So it was a lot of like reading the Bible, a lot of reading the Book of Mormon.
It's like summer camp.
Exactly. It's just like all intensive of religious study stuff. And I remember one night in the MTC, me and my roommates getting back to our apartment and just quoting Pitch Perfect for like 2 hours and literally crying laughing.
Yeah. And you probably quoted the entire movie.
I literally remember specifically me quoting, I can't help it, he's a hunter. You call it a dude? And my roommates were like so scandalized that I would quote that as a missionary. But sorry, that's one of the funniest parts of the movie. Yeah, it's like when my lady doctor told me not to have sex for 6 weeks and I did it anyway. You should really listen to your
doctor. You should listen to your doctor. So funny. Oh my gosh. You know what I also love? Not to just jump in, but just that scene, I'm thinking, like, her revealing that she has nodes. Like, Chloe revealing that she has nodes. And it obviously is, like, supposed to be a big old joke. But also, it is a huge fear of singers getting nodes. I was like, if I got nodes, I would be fucking distraught. I'd be beyond upset. Mm-hmm. And she is taking it like a champion. Like, she is, like, everyone's like, oh, no, that's so terrible. And then Becca's like, this is stupid. And it's like, it what? And then her saying that she can't sing above a G sharp anymore. Like, I couldn't tell you what that pitch was, but I was like, if someone told me that, I would be very, very, very upset. Mm-hmm. And just like, it makes me laugh because, like, obviously it's, I'm going to say it here and now, it's just singing, but it's also like, it's totally not funny, but it also is so funny. And I think the juxtaposition of all those things is just so funny and so fun.
That's what makes this movie so genius, is I feel like it really comes from a place of love, in that, like, you can tell the people who worked on this movie, I mean, like, it's freaking Brittany Snow and Anna Kendrick who are acting in it. Like, the people who do this movie, they're not, you know, like, the Hollywood elite who came in to make fun of people who, like, like a cappella and like singing. Like
those
they
girls
are,
sing. Yeah.
They are the people who like a cappella and like singing. And so it doesn't feel like it's punching down. It feels like, oh, let's all laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Because 100%. If I got nodes, I would be devastated. But also, the way that Chloe talks about having nodes as if she has terminal cancer is so funny.
It is fucking hilarious.
And she says, and she talks about, like, how she's so brave because she's living with nodes. Like, that is comedy gold.
And that's all we got for you today. Once again, our apologies on the continued delay of The Hurt Locker Part 1. It will be out next week, we promise. If you want to hear the rest of our episode on Pitch Perfect, as well as our episode on Pitch Perfect 2, or our episodes on the High School Musical movies, or Into the Woods, or Glee fan fiction, or Beetlejuice, and many, many other things, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week. Once again, we are very sorry. Love you all.